All right, folks, in about a half hour, we're going to be giving away Lynyrd Skynyrd tickets with ZZ Top. Should be a cool night. Right now, though, what will definitely be cool, talking to our friend PFT Commenter right here on the BetQL guest line. PFT, what up, man? How are you, buddy?
How we doing? I love the Skynyrd tickets. I wish I could qualify to win those Skynyrd tickets. Yeah. That's my first concert of all time.
Really? Where?
I believe it was at Wolf Trap, I think. Either Wolf Trap or the old Nissan Pavilion.
That's
which,
awesome.
By the way, I don't know if you ever remember this this piece of architecture that they had at the Nissan Pavilion in the men's restroom there, but they had the first circular trough that I've ever experienced, and hopefully the last that I will ever experience in my life for the men to use as a urinal. So it was essentially like a giant bird bath that you would stand around, and it was a circular firing squad. probably the only time that's ever been put in someplace, I would hope.
It's Bird Stadium used to have some interesting urinal situations, but yeah, I actually remember that at the old Nissan Pavilion. That's awesome. We're kind of debating how many founding members of Skynyrd are still with us, but we'll track that information down over time. Well, dude, I want to start because I know we often run out of time, and I don't want us to run out of time on this. Your band is playing in town this Friday, and I want to just let people know like kind of the specifics, the logistics, and what Pup Punk's all about.
Yeah, JP, you're going to come, right?
That is the plan, yes.
Okay, all right, cool. So JP will be there. JP, do you sing? Can you sing a song?
Let me hit you a little bit something real quick.
It's a bad idea.
I want to hit you with something real quick, PFT, before you go forward. He say, that's the plan. That mean probably no.
Okay.
You can't listen to him when he say, that's the plan. That mean no.
I've come to realize by working around enough people that have children of their own, that's the plan is dad code for like, I don't know what I'm going to be doing 3 hours from now. So I get that. Also, B Mitch, I know that you're a big fan of pop punk music. You were also invited. I'll get you on the list. I saw that your Spotify year end was essentially identical to Kirk Cousins's that he put out as his playlist a couple days ago.
So you are my Chemical Romance guy, Beeman.
Yeah. So you're also welcome to come. I'd like for everybody that's listening to come. It's gonna be a fun show. We're playing at the Union Stage, and it's just a good time. It's myself, Roan, who you guys might know here from Barstool Sports. He also does the Pat Bev Pod with Pat Bev. He is a world champion battle rapper, so he is an insanely
That's
good
impressive.
Entertainer. He sings for us, and we've got Caroline. She also is like a classically trained vocalist. She's going to sing for us. We got Robbie Fox on bass. We got Nick Hamilton on keys and guitar. And then we got Frankie Borelli, old Frankie Butterknives, back there on drums that you might recognize from Foreplay, our golf podcast here. So we're gonna show up at Union Stage. We're playing with the Pie Tasters. And the Pie Tasters,
growing
up,
old school DC band.
Old school DC, I mean, DC soul, ska, reggae, through and through. They were one of my favorite bands in the entire world growing up, and I still listen to them all the time. They're going to be playing with us, which I might be more excited about just listening to the Pie Tasters than anything. But then we're going to get on stage, and we're going to play a bunch of songs that you probably know the words to, that you want to sing along to, sprinkle in a few originals here and there, and we're going to get drunk. So I hope that some people come out. I think there's about 70 tickets still available for that show. So yeah, come on out. And I'll tell you what, what's a good code word to use? I can give out a code word for your listeners. If you want to come to the show, I will put two people on the list for the first people that tweet me a code word. But that code word is going to be up to JP and B Mitch.
I like that. How about, is it a single word?
We can do a single word or a phrase.
About punt return.
Punt return. Okay. If you tweet me punt return at PFT Commenter, the first person that I see, I will put two people, you and a plus one, on the list to come out and see the show.
That's awesome. Dude, when I was a kid, I worked at a bar.
And people, punt return is two words.
Punt return, two words. So the Pie Tasters were playing in D.C., some like festival that day. And I don't remember his name, but the lead singer, I remember it so well. They came in, they had cheeseburgers. I was the waiter. I took good care of them. And at the end of it, they were like, they tipped me well, right? Say they gave me $20, which at the time in 1998 was a lot of cash. The guy asked, he's like, "You 21?" I was like, "Nah, I'm like 17." He's like, "Well, don't tell anybody." And he just gave me two tickets to their show, which was very cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's Steve Jackson, their singer. Good dude. Right. I've gotten to know him a little bit over the years. But, yeah, come out and say hi. Enjoy the show. It's just always a good time. It's one of the highest vibe nights of the year when we get to do this and we get to play a concert. And we do practice. We take it seriously when we're on stage. So I like to think that the quality music will be pretty good. And if you don't like us, I guarantee you will like the Pie Tasters. So come out, check it out.
Very cool. Yeah, I've seen the videos and stuff, and I've seen you just playing a guitar. You shred. So that'll be fun. Union Stage, right down the street from the Anthem, right there in the Wharf. It's an awesome venue. Friday night should be beautiful weather, too. That should be a lot of fun. All right, PFT, you've got music. Let's turn to your other passion, the Washington Commanders. Roster cuts have happened. We at least know the initial 53 on this roster. I don't think the roster cuts were necessarily the big surprise. I kind of think the Jahan Dotson was the big surprise, the trade. Where are you at with your Commanders roster?
Okay, so I feel like I've talked myself through this whole process because I found out, I believe that was Thursday, about the Dotson trade. And at first, I heard the terms for it. I thought to myself, that doesn't sound like a lot to get in return. Like, we're swapping a third and a fifth round pick, essentially, right?
Yeah.
In division, but I think I'm going to trust Adam Peters until I hear otherwise. So I feel like he would not make this trade to a team in the division if he thought that it was going to be a problem for us down the line, if he thought that Jahan could actually play. And he took a big step back last year, and he didn't really do anything in camp or in the preseason. So I'm going to put my trust in him. He's I don't know if he's earned my trust yet, but I have no choice but to, because he seems like he has a plan, and he seems like a smart guy. Everyone that I've talked to that's worked with him says good things about him. So I'm going to put my trust in our general manager and our new front office. I'm willing to say that this trade could be a good thing. Let's wait until the season's over and see how it shakes out. So then after we traded him, I thought to myself, well, is there any chance that this means that we're getting CeeDee? Or I thought CeeDee Lamb for a second, because I think there was a graphic that went out that said that he was his next team was most likely the Commanders. And I thought, okay, probably not CeeDee, but this probably also means that we're high on McCaffrey, and that it also means that we're maybe still in the Brandon Ayuk sweepstakes, because that's been weird how that whole thing's been shaking out with the Patriots, and then the Steelers was essentially a done deal, and then that didn't happen. And I don't know. I talked to somebody that I think would be in a position to know what those talks are going like. And they told me Friday, and then I followed up with them again yesterday, that we're still in it for Brandon Ayuk. So that would be awesome. He's a great player. Obviously a big, big part of that Niners offense. Adam Peters knows him very well. So I don't know if it's going to happen, but at least I bought myself a couple days of just thinking like, man, that'd be cool if we did get Brandon Ayuk. It seems like a little bit late in the game, right? Going into week one.
I don't think that's happening.
Okay.
Pretty clearly. But I do think the Dotson trade, you said something that B has been saying throughout. Like, if there people were so excited about this Adam Peters thing, you got to let it play out.
Yeah, you got to let the man work.
And I think the Dotson thing was as much about liking other guys on the roster as it was about wanting Dotson gone for however that unfolded. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Listen, the fact that he was a first-round pick a couple years ago, I think that's what it's about. If you had scratched Jahan Dotson's name off and just gave him a randomly generated name, let's say his name is Brian Finley, right, and he's a wide receiver and came in, had a decent first year, and then didn't do a whole lot last year, and then has a bad training camp, and then we end up trading him for a third and a fifth-round pick, or a third and fifth-round swap. I don't think anybody would really bat an eye. They'd be like, oh, okay, that's a third-round pick. That's not bad. But the fact that he was a first-round pick and he has shown, like, a couple flashes here and there of being talented, not so much last year, but definitely his rookie season, that's what people are getting upset about, the fact that it's a first-round pick. But yeah, the point is, like, you have to have players that are actually good now that weren't good their senior year in college. So I'm gonna wait and see how it shakes out. We have no choice but to let it all shake out and see kind of the aftermath of it after the season's over. But the big concern for me is trading him in the division, and I don't like doing these trades. When we did them, round two of the draft where we dealt with the Eagles, It's a little strange, but okay, we'll see what happens here. But the fact that we're becoming like close trading partners with the Eagles, I don't like the sound of that.
I just think it's like those guys, just like players. You know, you come across people, you have good relationships with them, and you move forward. But the ultimate thing about the trading and all, if you don't think the guy's good enough for your team, you let him go. Don't care where he goes. Because if you're letting him go, you probably saw stuff in practice that you don't want to see. So if he wouldn't win it in practice every day, what makes you think he's going to win once he starts playing?
Yeah, that's totally so fair. I'm just dreading the Jahan Dotson revenge game, which might mean that maybe they're picking on Forbes a little bit less next time we play against him. If Jahan Dotson goes off, then that means that some other guys probably, some other guys getting cooked. But I'm kind of like I've got all these scars that I carry with me, and I don't want to see – like in those games, I don't want to see a former player come back and just beat us silly. But I guess on the other side of things, maybe it works out in our favor. Maybe we gave them a player that isn't going to do anything for them. And
maybe
and
Andy Reid them, huh?
That'd be a pleasant change.
Right now, if you look at it on paper, we took the Eagles' third receiver from last year, and now where is he at on the depth chart right now for the second wide receiver spot?
Zacchaeus?
Probably third, yeah. I would say. I think De'Ami Brown, you know, has been really good throughout August, and now he's got a chance to prove it in September. But I would say Brown has kind of established himself as the second guy, and then OZ probably third, with, I say, Luke McCaffrey kind of coming on his heels.
Yeah, doing different things with Luke. I'm excited to watch him because Christian McCaffrey has been doing to make him so good at football – he told Luke what he has to do to get so good at football. And then Luke can tell everybody in our locker room how to get so good at football.
Yeah, you can't wear jeans on Friday. Makes your legs tired.
no jeans Friday. Well,
that's what his dad would tell him.
Hey, amen.
Jerry Richardson would not approve of that. So one guy that I was very sad to see go, Martavis Bryant, and it happens every year. You fall in love with these stories, and you're like, oh, this would be very cool. He makes a couple plays in the preseason. And I started to talk myself into, like, Martavis being a contributing part of this offense this season. Big target, very fast, lost 20 pounds by drinking water and eating fruit, which is just crazy to think about that.
I've been doing that today. I'm trying to do it myself.
That's a guy that he wants it. You know, like, I looked at his career arc so far, and he's played everywhere. He's played in, you know, the secondary leagues. He's tried to get back ever since Hopkins.
Dude, he played in the fan-controlled league. Like, fans picked the play calls.
That's a league I would not want to play in.
No, we're dumb. We're so dumb. Why would you want fans
to
be your boss? Like, the guy wants to play football. He clearly wants to get back involved in the NFL. He's made a lot of sacrifices for it. So I was hoping at least for a good story that we get him back in. And then I watched all his old highlights when he was doing somersaults and catching the ball in between his legs when he was in Pittsburgh, and I was like, damn, what if we just got like one of the best players, one of the best receivers in the NFL for absolutely nothing? So I was bummed to see him go. Maybe a practice squad guy. I don't know when those are all going to get submitted and set in stone, but I'm still hopeful. Maybe I'm delusional, but I'm hopeful that Martavis might stick around for a little bit.
He could. I mean, dude, he was on the Cowboys practice squad last year. They haven't settled exactly how that's going to look, so it's possible he ends up coming back. I don't know if this is a unique DC thing, but the Commanders cut KJ Henry, the second year pass rusher out of Clemson, right? And the Bengals have since claimed him, and our guy Chris Russell's walking around saying, "Book it, Henry's going to have 2 sacks week 3 Monday Night Football in Cincinnati." Like, I feel like a lot of Burgundy and Gold fans are conditioned to think that, oh, they got rid of this guy, he's going to be great somewhere else.
That's how it used to be.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm going through with Jahan a little bit now. But, I like KJ Henry as a person. I thought that he was a cool guy. He's pretty friendly with the media for the most part.
Yeah, for sure.
He just seemed like a good dude. So I was sad to see that. But I also think that what Peters is doing is he is erasing history right now. He's getting rid of anybody that has any of the stink of the old era on him, with a couple of notable exceptions, obviously. Like, Terry's been through it all, and I don't ever want to see Terry playing somewhere else, but he is one of those guys that I would root for. But there are a handful of players that are kind of holdovers from the old regime. But for the most part, if you weren't contributing, and you were from the old regime, that's where they're wiping it. Like, yeah, we'll have, you know, our defensive tackles are great, and I hope we hang on to both those guys. But they're also very productive guys. But if you were a kind of a backup or maybe the next guy that was going to step up in a year or two, and you were still here from the Rivera era, I think they're just saying clean house. We have to start over almost completely new, which is a bummer for Ron Rivera that said that. Was that last August that he said, like, if I go 8-8-1 and I'm fired,
send me a ring
because he thought he was going to set somebody up for success. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think didn't he say like in his wildest dreams?
He
like,
said 40 of the 53 people will be guys that I drafted. And you end the quarterback, he say, and then they go out and win the Super Bowl, send me my ring,
yeah.
It's in the mail. Okay, check's in the mail, Ron.
I will send Ron Rivera a ring if there's, I don't think that there, what are there, like 35, 40 guys right now that he had an active hand in selecting on that team?
Dude,
we're going to turn everything over. That's a good thing.
It might be less, man. If you think about, only 12 of his 33 draft picks are there. Of the free agents, it's not many. I mean, of the guys that have been around a while, frankly, most of them were drafted before. I mean, you think of Duran, John, Terry, Tress, like the guys that have been around a while predated Ron. I'll actually go through and count that because that'll be kind of interesting. There was one other thing I wanted to talk about. Will Compton obviously played here for the Redskins, was a defensive captain. Comp has gone on to, like, tremendous popularity with his podcast. He's part of Barstool.
I don't know if I'd say tremendous. Yeah, he's doing okay.
He's doing all right. Obviously, we all know the number one sports podcast is part of My Take. But this Compton thing, Will Compton found this jersey he wanted to get of him playing for the Skins in the old throwbacks. It's a cool-looking jersey. Then all of a sudden, somebody bought it off eBay at an astronomical price. PFT, you want to take it from here and let B. Mitch know about the new Will Compton Museum?
Yeah, so it turns out that we have another, maybe the only person who's a bigger Will Compton fan in the world than Will Compton, and that is my co-host Big Cat. And so Big Cat saw this Will Compton jersey, didn't know that Will was bidding on it, completely coincidental, and outbid Will for his own jersey. And now we're establishing the Will Compton Museum in one of the toilet stalls here at Barstool Sports. So we're gonna frame up a couple jerseys, maybe get a Nebraska one up there. We're gonna get his Redskins throwback one up here. Have to pick one up.
I'm showing B-Mitch the picture now.
I don't know.
So Will went after the wrong person.
Yeah, and I don't know where Will's dentist is located, but a couple years ago, Will had his veneers put in, and he's got a great smile now. But if you remember Will when he was in D.C., he didn't really have that perfect smile with his teeth, so he got them changed. I'm trying to get my hands on Will's old teeth to put in the Will Compton Museum. So if his dentist is out there listening to me, if you have his teeth, or I'll even settle for the plaster molding that you get when you have a patient bite down and then you make the 3D image of their mouth, I'll settle for a plastic mold of Will Compton's old teeth that we can put into this new Will Compton Museum that we're gonna set up here in the bathroom stall. So that's really doing big things here for us.
All right. If there's any dentists out there, you know where to get it. All right. Everybody go check out Pup Punk on Friday at Union Stage in the Wharf. PFT, I'm going to be there, man. I'm looking forward to it. And I know that how cool is it you're playing a gig in your hometown?
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. I've got a bunch of friends coming out from high school and college. There's a word on the street, Mrs. Commenter, my mom, might show up.
Nice.
We're not sure about that yet. I don't know if she's going to stage dive, but Mama Commenter might be there, and we'll see. But there's going to be a lot of good people out, and it should be a fun time.
All right, man. Everybody go check out the band this Friday night. PFT, thank you for the time, bro. We'll catch up soon.
All right, man.
All right, have a good week, guys.
Take care.
That is PFT Commenter. Make sure you check out the Pardon My Take podcast. More news emerging about what the Commanders are doing, practice squad options. Nobody go anywhere.
Hey, it's Brian Mitch here. You heard me talk a lot about FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Well, I have something a little different for you now. Now through September 22nd, All FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a 3-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then with the YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel anytime. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to download America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. Full price of NFL Sunday Ticket will be automatically charged seasonally after free trial. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes imply. Apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I love that song. B. Mitchell Finley on 1 o'clock. Denton Day always joins us. PFT commenter was able to join us, so Denton understands, even though he hates James Madison University.
I'll invoice him.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I'll invoice
him. That's a good idea.
You know, that song was stuck in my head on a Friday last week.
Like, that, yeah. What's New Pussycat?
What's New Pussycat? Like, not a Wednesday after we're done talking where I've already heard it. Not a Wednesday before we talk, because I'm hyped, you know, talk college football with the homies. I literally woke up on a Friday. I was driving in. I was humming it. And I was like, I'm a broken soul now.
Yeah, it's time to, you know, kind of check your priorities.
Yeah.
What your plans are. How are you, Denton Day? Week zero in the books. What did we learn?
We knew that Florida State was going to have issues. I didn't know they were going to have those kind of issues.
Sucks. Yeah,
he's not good.
He's horrible, dude.
He is not good. He cannot throw.
Listen.
He can't throw more than the fact they had.
He can throw, just throw very, very. He's not accurate.
He can throw from me to you.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He can't throw from me
God,
to land.
He's awful.
It was terrible.
Everything's at the line of scrimmage, and he seems to just move slowly.
Then I'm going
to
tell you what happened.
I was
calling JP that morning to put in a bet for me because I was in Cali and I couldn't put in a bet.
You can't put him in out there, yeah.
And he called me back like 2 hours, 3 hours later. I'm like, hey, what's up? How you doing? I'm like, you just cost me some damn money.
Now, you could have just texted me like people do.
JP. If your phone rings, you should answer it first.
It doesn't ring, dude. I don't know how or why, but most of the time it just doesn't ring.
No, the first time it goes straight to your voicemail. I call back with your little do not disturb little crap.
Right.
That's what teenage girls do.
Me and
they have that on their phones.
Perfect. I don't want my phone ringing when I'm on the air. So I have it
you
on that.
You wasn't on the air that early in the damn morning.
I always forget later. It was early in the morning for you because you were on the West Coast. I was here. It was the middle of the day.
It was early.
All right. So FSU might not be the same team they were last week. We got serious football starting tomorrow night.
Yeah.
We got locals. Howard's playing Rutgers. That's a big old number. I believe NC State's playing tomorrow night. Western Carolina. There's a lot of excitement for the Wolfpack crowd.
A lot of big numbers tomorrow.
Dude, Carolina, is every school in the state of North Carolina playing tomorrow? Carolina plays at Minnesota. That's a kind of juicy game for Thursday nighter.
That line it's the first
swung.
Week of college football, though.
Yeah, but B, this is Thursday night.
This is Thursday.
I'm not talking
are they
about
all
Saturday.
Playing tomorrow night?
Yes.
Yeah, they're all playing tomorrow night, except for like Duke.
That's cool. But Duke,
NC State and
they
Carolina.
Have to be different, huh?
Dude, listen to this, B. NC State is playing Western Carolina. That's two North Carolina colleges playing. Wake is playing North Carolina A&T. That's four North Carolina colleges playing. Then you got Carolina playing Minnesota. That's five. I might comb this to see if we got any more North Carolina colleges. Colorado, Dion kicks off. What do we like? Get us up to speed.
We like a lot of overs because some of these numbers are massive. So we're just rooting for everybody to have fun. I like the Oklahoma over 59.5 with Temple. I'm never going to lay a 42.5. That's just not going to happen.
No.
That number's way too big.
Temple suck now?
Yeah.
Temple's always been kind of feisty.
They're feisty, but they're not like beating Oklahoma fight. But if it's like a 45-10 game, there you go. You know, you see good offense from Oklahoma. They don't cover that 42 number, but you still hit your over.
No, you don't.
No, you
said 45-10.
45-17.
59.5.
Yeah, math.
Elon's playing Duke Friday night. Very busy couple nights in the great state of North Carolina.
Is App State the only Carolina team playing on Saturday?
Charlotte, maybe. East Carolina, I don't know that we've
JP's
said.
JP's favorite team, App State.
Damn right. App State's going to the college football playoff, B. You just wait.
No, they're not.
He's lying. Anybody right. from that conference, go ahead.
Let's go through the locals. Maryland hosts UConn. Virginia Tech, I think this is a little bit of a tricky spot on the road at Vandy. I know Vandy might suck,
but they should beat Vandy. If they lose to Vandy, certain people like myself and one Pat McAfee are going to look really silly. Those of us that are big on Virginia Tech this year,
sure.
They should beat Vanderbilt. Maryland should smoke UConn, even with a new quarterback, they should smoke the Big 12's new favorite team in 2031.
That's a wacky bit. Get everybody up. Have you heard about this yet?
In 2031.
So they're in conversation. It hasn't been agreed upon yet, but they're in conversation to join the Big 12. UConn is in 2031. You know how bad you got to be to wait 6 years to join a conference now?
7 years.
Like, yeah, the Big 12 might not even be around in 2031.
But don't they get in for basketball right away?
For basketball, it's sooner than football.
Didn't take it over for JP today.
That's how long Northwest Stadium is going to be around. All right, so you like the Terps beat UConn. You like the Hokies on the road in Nashville. What do we like from the Wahoos this year?
Not much.
Really?
not much.
A lean year in Charlottesville?
It's going to be a lot of lean years. I mean, maybe they get...
What's the fancy-ass name they got for their college? The Grounds?
The Grounds. Yeah, the Grounds.
UVA's got a fancy-ass name for everything.
They got something weird for everything, bro. A lot of Thomas Jefferson around there, too.
It's really odd. They're smart.
They are smart.
Smart people always start overthinking stuff.
A lot of Vineyard Vines there, too.
One really cool big game. I'd say there's two games I'm really fired up for. Sadly, they're at the exact same time. Penn State, West Virginia in Morgantown.
Yeah, ooh, that's going to be an atmosphere.
And Miami and Florida in the swamp.
You can watch three TVs, Jay. Yeah. You can watch that.
Well, that Miami-Florida game's at 3:30, so that's in its window by itself, where that's going to be the big one.
All right, that's good.
Your WVU-Penn State shares it with Georgia and Clemson, but that's going to be a blowout because Clemson's trash, comparatively at least, and Georgia's going to wipe the floor with them. I like West Virginia covering the 8.5.
Do you?
At home. I think that environment's going to be crazy. And I've told you guys a couple of times, I'm not anti-James Franklin, but I do not love me some James Franklin. Mm. So,
what's your beef with Franklin? You just think he's kind of overrated?
I think we've seen what his ceiling is, and it's clearly not what Penn State is looking for. Now, with the 12-team playoff, you can kind of finagle it a little bit to where as long as you get in, you still stay relevant. But if you're not getting in the college football playoff, how relevant really are you? I think what they're afraid of is becoming what Florida is now. Because they've been relevant for such a long time, just the way that Florida was, and then with a series of interesting coaching hires, and then just like big recruits not working out. Like Florida's over/under this year is 4.5. Which, I mean, could you imagine telling someone that
in 07 in college football?
I mean, that last 5-game stretch is you got to march on the SEC on that one. Like, I don't know, you got to get Greg Sankey in a room and lock the door.
App State's playing Eddie George's team,
and they're playing Liberty.
East Tennessee State.
East Tennessee State. I was going to say Middle Tennessee State. Also, UVA playing Richmond. UVA playing
How about the Spiders?
I don't know. I don't know enough, but I imagine Richmond, that's an important game.
That's a huge game. I mean, remember, UVA almost beat JMU last year and then fell at the very end. So it's not like they're an awful team when you're playing the non-Power Fives, but even in a weak ACC, you're just playing teams that recruit so much better than you do.
Do Richmond and UVA kind of have the same colors, or is Richmond more red and blue?
Richmond's more red and blue.
Okay.
Yeah.
So give me a dream Saturday. Like, you watch game day.
It's just Tennessee State, not East Tennessee.
Tennessee State, okay. Game day's on. You at least got to watch 11:30 noon. Maybe you get longer than that. But
I can watch a lot of game day.
Me too, but you got to at least watch the last half.
You got to at least watch the last. I mean, I saw Nick Saban sitting at the desk with WWE superstar Sheamus picking games together.
And Pat McAfee. It was wild.
Like that's a brain-melting kind
How
of thing.
How about Saban already laying the groundwork for a 3-loss SEC team to get into the playoff? I mean, like, he was saying that on August 20th or whatever day it was.
He didn't waste any time. He's like, this could happen, guys. And the thing is, he's right.
Yeah.
Like, a 3-loss SEC team could potentially get in over, like, a 1-loss ACC non-con champ team, which is crazy to think about, but it is true.
Okay, so Saturday at noon, you're flipping back and forth from Georgia-Clemson West Virginia-Penn State?
For the first quarter, after the first quarter, it's likely going to be Penn State-West Virginia. You know, I'm marrying a Mountaineer, so we're going to be locked in on that one just as a little family. But even because I think that Georgia-Clemson game is going to be basically over by the end of the first quarter.
Okay.
So we're focusing on WVU and Penn State.
And I'm with you. I'm going to take the points. I'm going to be rooting for them ears. Yeah. 3:30 Miami-Florida?
Miami-Florida, yeah.
Next window is what?
And then we get Notre Dame and Texas A&M. That's a night window on NBC. That's the big one. Notre Dame right now on the road, 2.5-point favorite. At least they were an hour ago when I looked at it. But it's going to be really interesting because you're getting Riley Leonard, former Duke quarterback, against Mike Elko, former Duke coach. The only difference is Mike Elko got a lot of talent on that defense now. So I don't know how Riley Leonard is going to play against that one. But I like Notre Dame.
Okay. That should be a fun matchup. Where are the winners? Start tomorrow. Get wherever you got winners. We
all
need
right.
Them.
So here's the biggest.
What?
Here's the biggest one. You want USC LSU over. I don't care what number you get it at, you want over. Those defenses suck. It's a Sunday night game.
Ooh, and what's the Monday night game? Don't we have Sunday and Monday night
Monday
games?
Monday night is Boston College and Florida State. I would I have under 50.5 on that one because I don't know what Boston College is, and I watch Florida State and their offense sucks. I told you Oklahoma Temple over 59.5. I like WVU plus 8.5. I like Miami laying 2.5 against Florida. And then I like Notre Dame against Texas A&M.
Okay, and as always, you will text me all that.
Right? I will text you, and I will tweet because people got angry at me for not tweeting it.
Give everybody your
Twitter. You hit me up on at the Denton Day. People were very upset when you told them I picked the Georgia Tech game, and then I didn't tweet about it. And I was like, you guys should listen to B. Mitch and Finley. I told you there.
Did you get my – you got my number, don't you?
Do you have all your shows starting this week?
Yeah, so we got Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Damn.
There you go,
yeah, with all the games,
triple
I need the NFL to get off Thursday because when the NFL gets off Thursday, I get on Thursday, and I get money.
Uh-oh.
Like to hear it. Let's get off mama's because I just got off yours. Thank you, Denton. Appreciate the time, dude.
You are a fool.
Caller number 10 right now. You do not get to talk to Denton Day, but you get to win two tickets to Lynyrd Skynyrd and ZZ Top.
Skynyrd.
The Sharp Dressed Man Tour, Sunday, September 8th at Jiffy Lube Live. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, visit 947thedrive.com/events. 800-636-1067. Caller 10 right now. You win the tickets. Enjoy. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Grant and Danny coming your way next. This afternoon, you're going to hear from Adam Peters and Dan Quinn. Roster cuts are settled. Waiver claims have come and gone with nothing coming out of Ashburn. Now, that doesn't mean there couldn't be free agent negotiations. Remember, some guys that get released aren't subject to waivers. A guy like Noah Brown would be in that group. So there could still be some moves coming that folks are excited about that aren't subject to waivers. We'll just wait and see. Or they're quite comfortable with what they have.
Yeah.
Remember, they are looking at a very long, very wide lens at this Commanders roster. They're not all in for week one, to borrow a phrase from someone that formerly played here. We do have news out of Pittsburgh. The news out of Pittsburgh, Mike Tomlin has officially named Russell Wilson the starting quarterback for week one. Surprise, B?
Nope. I'm not surprised. He's been better.
I don't know if he's been better, but his track record over a long period of time.
He's been better than this dude here.
Like this preseason or in general?
Yes.
I think Fields fumbling didn't help. Yeah. I think Russ like started further ahead as the starter. Like I think they were going to give it to Russ. I would hardly say that it's a guarantee that it continue like that. Russ gets to keep the job.
If Russ doesn't play well, Mike will move. He'll move on. So it's up to him.
Yeah. Not surprised. I think when you've got Russ and you've got Fields, you almost have to let it start with Russ Wilson. Gonna be fun though, man. I mean, the NFL is a little more than a week out. Like next Thursday night is the opener. Then we get a game Friday night. How about this? Nick Gates, who funny guy, like nice guy, did a really poor job as the starter as the starting center.
I thought he was a wrestler.
he had pro wrestler vibes.
Yeah, he always gave my dad with his shirt off.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He eventually got back on the field for Washington like late in the year and played much better, but early on it was bad. So Nick Gates is signing to the Eagles practice squad. They believe he'll be elevated week one, which they can do Saturday night. And you know what? Gates is probably cool with it because he's still making $2 million guaranteed from Washington.
Yeah. Why?
Funny game, man.
Hey, I'm glad the contracts work at least a little better.
Right. Every day on this program, we make bets. Let's do it. Heard it here first. I don't know how this is going to work. Now, I circling back to Jeff not being here because he went to the ball game last night with the Oarsman Automotive guys. Now, Biagi texted me and said, Jeff's telling the truth. He really only had two beers.
Okay.
Another source that was with them at the baseball game said BS. So we have multiple reports.
Who's the other source?
I'll tell you. One of the other guys that runs the dealership that you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. We'll have to interrogate Jeff upon his return. Do we have the results from last night? I know I lost. The system would have hit. I faded the system, and it didn't hit.
I don't know who I even bet.
We all lost.
I think B took the Dodgers.
Okay, I lost.
Playing the O's.
Yeah.
All right. Make a pick, boys.
I don't know.
I'm taking the Nats plus 1.5.
Mackenzie Gore has gotten beat up lately. Lanville's taking the Nats plus 1.5 against the Yanks tonight. I'm tempted to go with the Yanks, but that's kind of a hater pick. All right, O's won last night in L.A., late night nightcap. I mean, that's a hell of a game tonight with Corbin Burns on the mound. Mets, Diamondbacks kind of important. God, I can't wait till tomorrow when I can just bet on football. You know what I'm taking tonight, Lanville? I don't know nothing.
Give me the O's and the Braves.
O's and the Braves for B-Mitch. The Mystics are favored on the road in Chicago. That seems funky to me. And you know I like to get funky, B. Give me the Washington Mystics, minus 2.5.
Mystics won their last two, by the way.
Let's go. Let's go Sticks. Heavy Metal Chris, you got a bet? It could be on behalf of Jeff.
I'll take the Mystics, too. Yeah. I'm working that game tonight anyway, so.
Go Sticks, baby. You can listen to that game here, right? Or on 980.
Yeah, on 980. Yep.
Boom. Listen to the Nats here, the Sticks on 980. That joint tips off at 8 o'clock. Thank you to everybody that listened to the program today. Thank you to Neil Greenberg. Thank you to PFT Commenter. Thank you to Denton Day. Tomorrow's a Thursday. B and I will be in Ashburn. We will open the phone lines up.
Yep.
Patriots released Jalen Reagor. He stinks. Nobody tweet me that Washington should sign him. Grant and Danny next. You made it this far. Lanville owes you a beer.